Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave picks up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, where we build on last week's message about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In today's study, we see that we need to keep unity at all costs, even when our churches can differ in their understanding and practice of the gifts of the Spirit. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12.
I invite you to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll continue here picking up in verse 12. We started last Wednesday evening looking at some of these gifts of the Spirit. Certainly, not only was our study last week not an exhaustive study on these things, but neither is this chapter, neither are the other chapters on this theme, Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, other places where you find these lists, these gifts mentioned. As I said to you last Wednesday, I talked to some of you guys in the foyer after service. I don't believe that the scripture has an exhaustive list. I believe that there are more gifts that aren't necessarily mentioned on the pages before us, but certainly what is in front of us is enough to chew on and to look at. So let's pray. We'll ask the Lord for just his leading, his guidance, and that he'd wake us up and just give us that mental focus to receive his word. So Lord, we thank you again for this evening. God, we thank you for the gift of worship. And speaking of gifts that aren't necessarily mentioned here in this list, God, we're grateful for worship leaders. We're grateful for musicians, God, who play skillfully and spiritually, more importantly. We're thankful for voices that can lead us. God, if I were leading on a microphone, everybody would leave. So we're grateful, God, that these folks here have the ability to sing, and they sing to you. And they lead us in to do the same thing also. So we're grateful, God, for this first portion of the service. Hopefully, Lord, a lot of us were able to drop our load, whatever it is, at your feet. God, if we've not been freed up to do that yet, or if we were late to coming in this prayer, Lord, I ask you that you'd set us free from whatever weight or perhaps potential hindrance we can be bearing right now. Lord, we want to receive from you all that it is that you have for us. If the enemy is trying to rob us, if he's ripping us off, Lord, if we're going through some type of spiritual funk, Lord, just pull us through, we pray, so that we can receive from you now our portion. I pray for the gift of teaching, prophecy, Lord, that I'd have the anointing of your Spirit to give your heart tonight to your people that you brought out. We thank you for this time. Bless your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we left off in verse 11. So we'll pick up our reading here, verse 12. Again, not reading through the entirety of the text, just taking it verse by verse. So follow, please, with your Bible. And if you didn't bring one with you, you can follow on the screen behind me. Paul says, "For as the body as one," I'm going to read 12 and 13 together because there's a theme here. He says, "As the body is one, and as many members, and all the members," notice again, "of that body is one, being many, they are," for the third time here, "one body, so also is Christ." Verse 13, again he says, "For by one Spirit," capital S, speaking of the Holy Spirit, "we are all baptized into one body. And whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into," again, "one Spirit." So the Holy Spirit, we began looking at him last week, and then we started to look at some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to make it very clear that the Holy Spirit is the great unifier of the church. The Holy Spirit brings unity to the body of Christ. And what's sort of ironic here of this subject is that the church, by large, so much of the church is divided over him. Here he is as the unifier, here he is the one who is the common denominator among us. He's the one who brings us together into the fold, into the flock, and gives us fellowship, communion, this relationship that we enjoy in Jesus. And yet so much of the body of Christ, not necessarily this local body, although here too, I'm sure at times, but the body of Christ is divided, so much of it at least is, over the Holy Spirit. Notice here that his heart, the heart of Jesus, the heart of the Lord, is that there would be unity. There's this theme here of oneness. It's continuously repeated by Paul in these verses while he's on this subject matter of God the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, no less than the second person, no less than the first person. God in three persons, all equal. There is no order there as far as like priority, the Father, then the Son, then the Spirit. Three persons, one God, all equal, all serving a distinct purpose. And here it is speaking of this subject of unity. That's how it's beginning here tonight. You know, when we first started through Corinthians in chapter 1, Paul gives this amazing shout out to the church there. And he says, you guys come behind in no spiritual gift. You guys are super loaded with spiritual gifts. You got a very talented, God-gifted congregation there in that part of Greece. But he says, the problem in chapter 3 is that I can't impart to you what I want to because you're carnal, because you're fleshly minded. You're fleshly predominantly in your activity. So even though you got all these spiritual gifts, you go the opposite direction of the way of the Lord. And that's problematic. And one of those things that he's addressing here is that of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. There's ignorance on these things. There's confusion over these things. And there still is today. There's extremes on this subject matter. You have those who are charismatic. The Pentecostal denomination sort of are in line with that way of thinking and handling of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, where, you know, there's just this overemphasis, I believe, on the gifts. And even some of the gifts like prophecy, where some of these leaders in the church make their voice equal with the voice of Scripture, which I think is dangerous. I believe is awfully dangerous and eventually problematic. But then you have on the other end of things, you have those who are cessationalists. A lot of Baptist denominations align themselves with this way of thinking. And it gets more complex, but we're just seeking to keep it simple tonight. Where they suggest that after the establishment of the church in the apostolic age, in the beginning there, after Jesus ascended, that the gifts of the Spirit have essentially ceased. Okay, as I said to you last week, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We rely upon the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that the giftings here and in Romans and in Peter and elsewhere, Ephesians, that they are for every generation till Jesus comes. We believe that which is perfect is speaking of the coming of the Lord. Okay, and we rely on these empowerings, these endowments from on high, no doubt, without any reluctancy. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what I said to you then last week is that we're charismatic with a seatbelt. We trust that there's that authority of God's word that gives us the confines and the parameters that we are to stay in operating these gifts. Either which way, there's not to be division among the body of Christ, certainly over the gifts of the Spirit, who's the unifier in the church. And that's important to understand. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're struggling with unity, this is a midweek Bible study, so it's going to hit each person differently. We're not just on one theme. I'm not building a sermon. Right now we're going to turn our attention to the unity of the Spirit for a moment. If you're here tonight and you got a problem with a brother or sister, if you're here tonight and you just can't keep that mouth closed about other people in the church, you need to go look at John chapter 17 and see what Jesus has to say about unity. This is an emphasis that is placed heavily in Scripture for the heart of God toward his people, that there would be this maintaining of unity among us. So the opposite of unity is discord. And the Scriptures are clear that the Lord is not well pleased with those who sow discord, who participate in furthering discord. Okay, we need to stay together as the church, especially as we see the day of the Lord approaching. So when people come up to me and they say, hey, what do you think about the Baptist pastor down there? Or what do you think about the Presbyterian guy over there? Hey, do they lift up the name of Jesus? Do they teach the Bible? Then, you know what I mean? Like, if they're a brother, Jesus said it. If they're a sister, then they're on our side, right? And so there needs to be this understanding. There needs to be the unity of the Spirit. He says, we are called to be one. Even though there are many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, verse 13, reading through again, it's aorist passive there when it says baptized. It's something that has been done in the past, a past action. It's completed once and for all. You didn't have anything to do with it. The Holy Spirit did it. That's what it's suggesting here, and it's finished. It's complete. If we're in Christ tonight, we have been baptized once and for all by the Holy Spirit into one body, the body of Christ. And he does something that would be staggering to the reader's mind then. He takes the Jews, he says, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. And that class distinction in Paul's day was staggering. That they would be together is unbelievable. He says, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're bond or free, social distinctions again here, that would be incredible to these hearers' minds. You know, that we would all be lumped together as one in Jesus. He says, but that's what it is. We've all been made to drink. That's aorist passive again. Something that's been done in the past. It's finished. It's complete. You had nothing to do with it. God saved you by his Spirit. He baptized you into his family. You've been made to drink by him, not you. You've been made to drink by him into one Spirit. And for the body then, it's even though it's this one body, even though there's this unity, there are still, though, he says, and this is where the confusion comes, there are many members. So what he's saying then is this, that the worth ascribed to every person in the body of Christ, the church, it has a different economy. It values people differently than the way that the world does. There's worth for every single person in the room. That's why there needs to be unity, because there should be no thinking in our minds or in our hearts, well, what's this person doing? Why is this person here? This person's a joke. Okay, there's this inclusion here by the Holy Spirit if he has taken you and made you a part of the family of God. So now this is where I have to hone in, because I'm teaching as a teacher, I teach the text in the context. This is to Christians right now. If you're here tonight and you are not yet a part of the family of God, there's always that opportunity at every service. We'd love to welcome you into the family of God, should that be your heart's desire. But if you're here tonight and say, no, I'm already a Christian, which I would presume that the most of you are, then here's where the lesson gets opened up to us. We are supposed to be one. Whether you like the person next to you or you don't, the Holy Spirit is the unifier. If you are not bringing unity, you're acting in discord. If you're acting in discord, you're displeasing God. But even though we are one, there are many members. And every member is necessary. There is value on every person. So then, listen please, there is distinction, there is differentiation, there is diversity, but there is not to be division. So look around the room. Go ahead and take an object lesson in for a moment. Look at the people around you. There is certainly diversity, isn't there? You look around the room, there is certainly this differentiation. There is certainly this distinction among us. But there's not to be, says the Lord, division. So unity then, we need to understand these things, in both the positive and the negative, so it clicks. Unity isn't uniformity, because there's supposed to be diversity. Diversity is beautiful. If we were all the same, this place would stink, right? We want this diversity among us, yet maintaining our unity. So the body then is not one member, but it's many members. And now he gets incredibly practical here in the way that he starts to give this analogy, this breakdown. He begins here in verse 15 by bringing the foot, literally like your foot on your body, to the witness stand here to testify of his point. He's not being literal. He's just using this as an example of something that we can appreciate. He says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore really not of the body? Like if your foot could talk and say, well, this isn't fair. I'm stuffed in this stinky sock, stuffed in this stinky boot or shoe down here. You know, the hands over here flying around, everybody gets to see the hands. But I'm down here in this sock, and it's a little bit moist down in here, and it's kind of stinky here. And, You know, and I can't be a part of the upper body here. I'd like to move my way up here. This really is kind of ridiculous. I don't even feel like I'm really a part of the body because nobody even sees me or minds me or whatever it would be. That would be outlandish. He's using this purposefully here. If the foot could talk and could say something, obviously the foot can't talk and the hand can't hear. So these things aren't necessarily real. They're just an example because I don't want anybody to think here tonight, all I am is a foot. All I am is a toe. I've heard pastors use it this way before. Like if you're the foot in the church, then be the foot. But the enemy could really mess with people's minds like that. So that's how they see me. I'm just the foot. This is just an example to say that there's a place for everybody. You know, you bust that big toe, your balance is going to be off. You realize how important that big toe is when it starts to be wounded or hurt or something is dropped upon it. Your balance is off. Your walking is affected. Your whole body is affected from one member. But he's saying here, you know, there are these ways of thinking. But we need to understand is that God has called us to something here where the emphasis is upon interdependence. We need each other. We need each other. Different people working together. Everybody having their place. If you were entertaining not coming tonight, or if you're entertaining leaving because somebody looked at you a wrong way, or you think they said something about you, that's just the enemy trying to cause division. There's got to be unity. He's got us right here in his word tonight. I'm not preaching in vain. A stone's hitting somebody. You think about the body, you think about the anatomy of us as human beings. He's going to keep using the body for a moment. You think about how complex it is. The heart, it beats, it's estimated some 130,689 times a day. This is just an average person, an average adult person. The heart beats 130,689 times a day. Think about the complexity of all the members of the body, the blood in our bodies. Just all of these things I'm giving to you are things that happen in a 24-hour time period. Blood travels 168 million miles in a 24-hour time period throughout our bodies. That's 6,720 times around the earth, just to give you like an illustration here, a visual. We breathe 23,040 breaths a day. We inhale 438 cubic feet of air a day, 24-hour time period. The average person speaks some 4,800 words. I'll probably be close to that by 8:30 tonight. And you're probably thinking, wait a minute, is that for males or females? Either which way, that's the average person. The average person, move 750 muscles in a 24-hour time period. I didn't even know that we had 750 muscles, honestly. And we exercise, interestingly enough, Olivia and I were talking about this morning, just how much power goes from our body to produce thoughts in our brain. You exercise 7 million brain cells in a 24-hour time period. The brain has 10 billion nerve cells that record what people see, what people hear. The skin has more than 2 million tiny sweat glands, which is about, what it works itself out to being about 3,000 sweat glands per square inch. And like all of this is going on in all of our bodies, meanwhile, like we have this even temperature being regulated. Like this perfect body temperature that is being regulated. Several hundred systems of control, each interacting with each other and affecting one another. You think about how complex this whole thing is. And how ridiculous it would be if one member can say to another member, well, this is no fair. I'm down here stuff in your nasty boot. I'm down here stuff in your nasty sock. You know, this is the problem here, he's saying. He's saying that this is what's going on. There are those who are thinking this way, and it ought not to be. He goes on to say, if the foot shall say, I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it really not of the body? And if the ear in verse 16 shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it really not of the body? If the whole body, for goodness sakes, you know, were an eye, I'm thinking of the Minions, just their little voices and them walking around, or is it Monsters, Inc.? I don't know which one right now, but just, you know, this big little figure there with just an eye, just a big old eyeball. You know how ridiculous it would be? It'd be creepy. It'd be freaky. He's saying that if that were the case, if the whole body were an eye, or if the whole body were an ear, or and it said, that because I'm not the other one, am I really not of the body? Is it truly the case? If the whole body were an eye, where would their hearing be? Verse 17. And if the whole were hearing or an ear, where would the smelling be? But now has God set the members, this is important to grab, but now has God set the members, every one of them, verse 18, in the body. Please, at the very least, make a mental note. I have it underlined in my Bible. It says, as it has pleased him. As it has pleased him. So listen, here's what I have written in my center column. You do what you want with this, but I need to read these things to have them reinforced in my life. Where you are brings pleasure to the Father, because he's the one who places you as part of his body as he would. He places you in his body, the corporate body of Christ, as he would. So the incarnate body of Christ, the Spirit of God came upon and dwelt and empowered for the earthly ministry of Jesus. We see that through the Gospels. And now he has chosen to work in a similar fashion, not limited to his incarnate body, because it's no longer here on earth. He's ascended back to glory. But he is now doing it through his body, the body of Christ, all throughout the world. He has the Spirit within each of us that are believers. Hopefully, the most of us, the Spirit has come upon to empower us and to use this for his glory in the same way that he was being used when he walked this world, when he walked this earth. So he's saying, you know, this is important for us to understand. It's important for us to grab a hold of. God has placed us where it pleases him. God has placed us where it pleases him. It would then help us then to not become discontent with what we're doing. It will help us then to use the silly illustration of the Holy Spirit here, and I don't mean that insultingly toward him, but to use the illustration of a toe or of a foot, it will help us to realize that, like, I gotta stay in my place. I gotta stay where God has designed for me to be. If I try to move up, like, imagine if my toe were able to work its way up to my knee. And come summertime, I'm outside preaching to you, and all of a sudden my toe's just, like, hanging out, wiggling on my kneecap. It would throw all y'all off. You'd say, this dude's a freak. If it was able to work, you know, if it said, that's not enough, because he puts pants on sometimes. And that thing was able to work its way all the way up to my face. Now that there's no mask, now it knows it's free, and it will always be seen. Like the face is. How's it fair that the eyes get to be seen? The nose, he's using the smelling, the hearing, the ears, the nose. These things always get to be seen. How's this fair? Imagine if the toe worked its way all the way up to my cheek.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.